A lot of talented folks in the church. We thank the Lord for what he's doing here. Thank him for his spirit. Thank him for his love and his mercy. If you got your Bibles, when we go into the Old Testament, to the book of Numbers, then we're going to Deuteronomy, then we're going to the book of Joshua. I want to preach on this subject this morning, the city of refuge, and specifically standing in the congregation, and you'll see what that is about in just a minute as we talk about that. You know, in the congregation of the church, folks, everybody is important. Everybody. And you're here this morning, you think, well, does it matter if I go? Oh, yes, it matters. I can't tell you how much it matters. I walk around up here and I stand on each side and I look, and every time somebody walks in the door of that church, I say, thank you, Lord, that they came this morning. I say, Lord, it's good to see them this morning. Lord, I'm glad that you sent them here this morning. You might be here this morning. You wonder, why in the world am I here? Well, you're here for a purpose. God's got a plan for your life. God wants to do something in your life. And what my heart's desire and prayer is that you'd come here and the Holy Spirit would do his work. And God would be able to do things in your life that only he can do. And folks, there's some things that only God can do. You know, and I want God to work, and I want God to be at liberty, and I want him to be free. And I want to say this before we read any scripture. These altars are always open. You know, I'm just this way. I can't help it. I still believe in an altar. I still believe in a place where people can come. And you know, sometimes you come during the altar call at the end of a service, but if God speaks to your heart, it's whenever he speaks to you. You know, sometimes I've been in these churches and I go in and they never give an altar call. You look, you don't see one. And you say, well, how do people get right with the Lord? Well, they sign a card. Sometimes you need to shed some tears. Sometimes you need to come down and just lay your burdens down at the feet of Jesus. Sometimes you have to be willing to submit unto the movement of the Holy Spirit. And you have to show the Lord. Doesn't the scripture say to draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you? That's when God calls you, you take that step. Now, if you got your Bible, in the book of Numbers, chapter number 35, and verse number 9, we want to begin reading. And we want to talk about the scripture here that's written, I believe, and I believe it according to what I understand about the scripture. The first five books of the Bible, which we call the Pentateuch, I believe they were written by Moses. And now you say, well, how in the world did Moses write them? He wasn't there during every bit of that. Well, it's like this. The Bible says that holy men of old were moved on by the Holy Spirit, and they pinned down the words according exactly as God wanted them pinned down. Now, I believe that about this Bible. Now, when we get to this point, we have actually, beginning in the 35th chapter in the 9th verse, we have laws that are concerning murder, okay? But I want to read this to you, and I want you to think about it as we get through it, because what we're going to do is we're going to read the scripture initially as given in Numbers. We're going to see it implemented in the book of Deuteronomy, and we're going to see a place where Joshua comes back in the 20th chapter, and he speaks to the people after they come into the land of Canaan, and he begins to implement exactly what God wants done. Now, when you kill someone accidentally, in this country, even today, we have murder in the first degree, the second degree, the third degree. You even have something that's called manslaughter, and you're going to see some of that. And sometimes what, you know, if you stop and think about it, you ever seen a situation where somebody just has what we call an accident? It's an accident. They didn't mean to do it, but they go through a stop sign or they go through a red light, and all of a sudden, they're in a situation in their life that they never wanted to be in, never thought that they'd be in. Sometimes people get involved in things and they look around and it's almost like this. It's like trying to remember what happened. I can't fathom how I got myself into this situation. Now think about that as we read this scripture in Numbers chapter 35, beginning in verse 9. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when ye come over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then shall ye appoint unto you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any person unaware or accidentally. It says, and they shall be unto you cities for refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer die not until he stand before the congregation in judgment. Now there's that congregation. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to come back to that. It says, and of these cities which ye shall give shall be six cities ye shall have for refuge. Ye shall give three cities on this side of Jordan, and three cities shall ye give in the land of Canaan, which shall be cities of refuge. These six cities shall be a refuge both for the children of Israel and for the stranger and for the sojourner among them, that everyone that killeth any person unawares or accidentally or unwillingly may flee thither unto the city of refuge. Now let's go over to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Just want to pick up two verses. And we want to see this because as we go through the Word of God, we see it implemented by the man of God. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 41 and 42 says, then Moses severed or separated three cities on this side of Jordan toward the sun rising, that the slayer might flee thither, which should kill his neighbor unawares or accidentally or by accident, and hated him not in times past, and that fleeing unto one of these cities he might live. Now, let's go over to Joshua chapter number 20, and I want to begin to go through these verses. And, you know, one thing I like about and I believe about Bible study, and I think this is an important thing for us to do, we look at the Bible study and we look at it historically, what really happened. Then we look at it doctrinally, what is God teaching us? And then we look at it, you could say, from a spiritual application or a practical application, well, how does it apply to our hearts and lives? And folks, can I tell you, that's why we have the Word of God. Bible talks about these things happen as examples unto you and I. Now, we're going to see some pictures here in just a minute. And folks, there's more here than I know. I wish I was able to tell you that I knew it all, but I don't. I'm just going to tell you what God showed me. But as we look at the historical happening, we're going to see it really begin to take place here in Joshua chapter number 20. Now, we know that Joshua was able to lead the people, you know, after Moses was gone and they went into the land of Canaan. And he got over there and he was God's man. And he began to implement, listen to what the scripture says. It says, the Lord also spake unto Joshua. Amen? Now, I want the Lord to speak to me. I want him to. I want him to speak to me. Now, here's what I believe the Holy Spirit does. And this is just something come. You know, when God speaks to me, if I'm obedient to him, it's going to say the same thing this says. You get that? When God spoke to Joshua, it was not different from what he had already spoken to and told Moses. Okay? It says, he said to him, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I speak unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unaware and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand in the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him unto the city unto them, and give him a place that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unintentionally or unwittingly, and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in the city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. And then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city, and unto his own house, and to the city from whence he fled. And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee, and Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjath Arba, which is in Hebron, in the mountain of Judah. And on the other side of Jordan, by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. And these were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person unaware might flee thither and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. Now, just from a historical application, I want us to look at this and understand exactly what's going on. God told Moses, he said, I want you to appoint six cities. They're going to be cities of refuge. And these are going to be places. Now, why did I read those names? I can't pronounce those names. Why did I read those names? Have you ever been in a position that you didn't want to be in? Have you ever had to go through the phone book and hope you found a good lawyer? Have we not had it in church to where sometimes we have situations and we ask one another and we say, do you know a good lawyer? It's kind of like this. We had a situation not that long ago, and I heard it, and my heart grieved when I heard about it. A lady who was driving a car going to work went through a stop sign on a bus over in Douglas County. You know, it was raining. It was hard to see, and this was a good lady. This was a Christian lady, but she went through that stop sign, and in going through that stop sign, she hit and killed a 15-year-old little girl. It was an accident. She wept, she grieved, the tears run down. She was a mother, she had a job, she had a family, but for 2 years they sentenced her. She needed to go to prison because that was the type of crime that we're talking about. You say, well, it shouldn't happen that way. I want to tell you something. These people might have thought, I don't need to know where those cities are. I'm not going to need it. You never know what you're going to need. And what I thought when I read this and I began to read those cities, the reason I wanted to go ahead and read those verses is if it were me and you, if we fully understand who we are and who God is, we're going to be prepared and we're going to stand looking for, needing, and knowing that the grace of God is our covering, is our help. When I heard that story, and you know, I told the story a couple of weeks ago of the young lady who was driving through Douglasville, and she hit a man walking on the side of the road. How much of that have we heard on the news lately? Somebody gets hit, and they're knocked, and somebody goes and repairs their car, and then they try to defend themselves. That's why I've told my boys and my daughter, and I tell all of you young people, you call us. You call your mama. You call your daddy. And if you don't have a mama or daddy that you can call, you call me. You call Brother Allen. We come in here and we do what we do because we love you. And we want to help you. We don't know what tomorrow holds for us. Now let's look at this scripture. God said, get six cities. Three on this side, three on that side. Well, what are they for? They're for someone who has taken and committed a crime, and it could be this. It's a crime of passion. It's not somebody who has decided, well, I'm going to kill so-and-so, and they hide behind the door with a stick or with an axe or with a gun, and they murder them and take their life. Folks, it happens every day. But it's like this. How many times have I heard men say that I did not expect to find myself in that situation? Brother Tom, I was at a Celebrate Recovery meeting just a few years ago where a man stood up and he gave his testimony. And he said, I ended up in an argument with my brother-in-law, my wife's husband. And in the process of the argument, we got into a fist fight. He said, I hit him one time and 2 weeks later, they pronounced him dead. Now, as he stood there before us and he was telling, you know what he was telling? And I want to tell you, God has the power. He said, God restored. He said, it's amazing that God was able to restore my marriage after I took the life of my brother-in-law. He said, but God has restored it because that's what a mighty Savior does. But that man would tell you, I never thought I'd find myself in that situation. It's a crime of passion. It's a crime of frustration. It's unintentional. Going down the road yesterday, you know how it is. Now, y'all know I drive like a grandfather, okay? Some of y'all get behind me and they say, that's Brother Joe, I'm going to back off. Now, Tommy wouldn't pass me. We were going down the road yesterday evening, going home from church here after we had our good time of fellowship. Somebody got behind me and it was the same way coming. They were behind me and they were blowing their horn. And I looked, I thought, well, I'm running 45. I know the speed limit's 50, but I like 45. They're blowing their horn. I just ignore them. I've got the backseat driver, Luke, who's trying to tell me what to do. Going home. I told my wife, she said, well, maybe they're going to the emergency room. I said, it not every day, because this happens to me every day. We're going home, a car gets behind us, and they get right up on my bumper, and they've got their bright lights on, and I just had to turn my mirror away. You know what often happens? It's this right here. It's pull over. It's pull over, and they get on the side of the road, and they get to fighting. And you know what happens? All of a sudden, something that was really nothing turns into something that threatens somebody's life. Because people are not willing to go on. I told my son, I said, I tell you what you do. You keep your eyes forward and you drive. You don't slam on your brakes. You don't turn and you don't do anything. You don't say anything. Because that's what happens to cause people to get in this shape. You see? Now, I want you to understand something about this city. If you needed it, you'd want to find it. You might not have listened as Moses and Joshua stood up and proclaimed the name of the three cities on this side and the three cities on that side. But if you needed that city, you know what you'd be doing? You'd do a lot of people that happen here. Brother Tom, they call you on the phone and they say, Brother Tom, I need help. They'd say, I need somebody that can show me and point me in the right direction. I never thought I'd find myself in this shape. But it was a place where they could flee through to that the avenger of blood could not enter. Now think about who the avenger of blood is. If you had committed a crime of passion, a crime of unintentional, but it's still something that you are going to have to face and you're going to have to deal with. And let me just say this, folks. There may be things that we're going to have to face in our life. Sometimes all you can do is face them. That's why the church is supposed to stand based on what I understand about the Word of God. The church is not supposed to kill its wounded. What we're supposed to do is take them up under our arms, and we're supposed to love them, and we're supposed to help them. But sometimes there are things in your life, you're just going to have to go through it. Yeah. But if we're part of the family of God, guess what? We ought to go through it together. Because the Bible says we ought to bear one another's burdens. But can you imagine if it's you, you're fleeing because there was one called the Avenger of Blood. If you could see him, maybe he's got on a black mask so nobody sees his face. Nobody knows who he is. Because he could be the next door neighbor. But he's the one who has the job. He's the one who has the axe. And his job is to pursue the slayer. What does it say? Blood for blood. And as you're headed to the city of refuge, you're running. You're fleeing and you're attempting to get to that place so that the avenger of blood does not get to you before you get there. You see, the slayer, the guilty, when he come into the city of refuge, he would present his cause. In other words, he would come into the door of the city and the people would meet him and he would tell them why he was there. He might say something like this, I got into a fight with my next door neighbor. He was blowing his leaves over onto my yard and I said something to him about it. And y'all laugh, it happens. I went to Thanksgiving dinner. And we got to talking about politics. And my brother-in-law stood up and bowed at me and I hit him right between the eyes. Hey, it happens. Yeah. Yeah. And I had to come to the city of refuge and I'm in this shape. I didn't want it to happen that way, but it happened that way. It might be this. I was driving home from work and I was tired and I didn't have enough sleep. And I went to sleep and I went through a stop sign and I hit a family and I killed two little girls. It happens. And as he stood there in the gate of the city and he presented his cause to the congregation, they would decide they'd let him in. Now, to start with, they'd let him in anyway, but they'd let him in and say, you can dwell here with us. And then he had to go, and here's what would happen. I could just about see it as he's inside the city of refuge. The avenger of blood is pursuing. The one, the slayer, the guilty, was looking over his shoulder. Oh, so glad when he walked through the gates of the city of refuge. Because the avenger of blood could not get to the guilty as long as he remained inside the city. Now, boy, this is interesting. This makes for a movie, wouldn't it? Yeah. I'm reading from the Word of God. This is a story in the Bible. It's like this. It's alive. But I'm getting to a point in just a minute. I want to tell you where it's really good is when it comes back to us. Okay? The guilty would then stand before the congregation in judgment. Is there anybody here that would like for us to take these screens, everything in your life, and put it up here and let you be judged by the congregation? You see, as the guilty stood before the congregation, he had to tell. and he had to be open. And they would judge him. And they would judge him to decide whether or not he could stay among them. And if they deemed him worthy and he had a good cause, he would stay within the city. If not, they would open the city door and they would push him back out. And he would constantly be running until he was caught by the avenger of blood. But you know, as long as he remained inside the city, the scripture said the guilty must remain there until the death of the high priest. Now, I don't know everything, but I want to tell you this. The high priest, he represented the law to the people. Now, remember that. Now, what does the scripture say in Matthew chapter number 5? It said not one jot or one tittle is going to pass from the law. That not one dotting of the I or one crossing of the T. Now, if I'm going to be judged by the law and I'm going to have to be judged by the high priest, I'm guilty. Now, I want us to look at this scripture from a doctrinal standpoint for just a minute. And let's look at this city. This is a place for those who had made a mistake. Passion, emotion, made a wrong decision, made a rash decision. It could be anger, it could be fear. You know what this place was? It was a place for those who had a past. Every one of them. They all had a story to tell. They all had a past. And not only was it a place for those who had made a mistake, made a wrong decision, those who had a past, but I'll tell you what it was when they went into it. If you could just imagine if you needed this city walking into it, it was a place of grace. It was a place when you walked into it that you knew that regardless of your past, regardless of what you've done, that you were safe. It was a place that you knew that if you were inside of there, you were going to be cared for, you were going to be taken care of, and it was going to be all right because that avenger of blood, he couldn't get to where you were at. It was also a place of judgment. You see, I want grace, I need grace. But I could almost imagine some of these people as they went into the city and they first experienced this grace and they felt safe for just a little while, the impending judgment that was coming. Because they knew they would have to stand before the congregation and they would have to tell their story. And the congregation would look at them and they would decide their fate. Basically, whether you live or you die. Now, I want you to think about the congregation for just a minute. Because I want to talk about standing in the congregation. You know, can you think about the congregation themselves? What kind of congregation would be in a city of refuge? I can just about see it as the guilty was standing there. Maybe even still had the blood on their clothes. Maybe even remorseful or nervous from what they had done. And the congregation may say something like this. This would be me, and this would be you. See, I remember what it was like to be found guilty. See, I remember what it was like myself to be running from the slayer. Have you ever thought about who the congregation was? It was more of the same. It was the same kind of people who had fled from the slayer, people who were guilty, people who had done things that they shouldn't have done, people who had committed crimes of passion, people who had made a rash decision in anger or in fear or done something. How many of us could say, I wish I had never? Let's say, I remember what it was like to stand before the congregation and be judged myself. See, doesn't the scripture say with what judgment you meet, it shall be measured to you again? You see, think about the congregation. They might say, I remember what it was like to be forgiven and to be accepted by the congregation myself. I remember how I felt when I saw the first people to come into the city after me. You see, when you're standing in this congregation, I want you to think about what kind of people made up that congregation. They were guilty people. They had committed crimes and they had done things that, even though, and you can say, well, I didn't mean to. I've done things I didn't mean to do. I remember one time I was down in South Fulton County and I was coming home. It was one of those late nights and I come through a stop sign and I hit a car right in the side. Everybody drove away, but I did it. I was guilty. Well, but just a few months later, we got the paperwork in the mail, being sued. The car was drivable. They drove it home. Nobody went anywhere in an ambulance. But can you feel the stress already just thinking about it? You feel the stress. I mean, I go down to Harris County, and I go hunting down there, and I've got on my beautiful fall tie today. But every time I go through that little town, it's got one of those speed traps. You know, when you can see 25, 35, 45 in 150 yards.
Yeah.
Something ain't right.
Yeah.
I went through there, and I looked up behind me, and here comes the man. I turn on this road, he follows me. I turn on this road, he follows me. And all of a sudden, the lights come on. He pulls me over, says I was doing 45 and a 25. What can I say? I said, can I see the radar?
Yeah.
I went and I looked at the radar and it said 45. And you know, in my mind, I thought you could have took that anywhere. But he had me. Do you know that every time I go through that town, I think about it. I look for them. I pay attention to them. I went straight over to the courthouse, went and did a wire and paid for it. I didn't know what kind of congregation that was. I had to deal with it. But you know, you stop and think about it for just a minute. Everyone in this building has got something that we're guilty of that we have to look up and say, thank you, God, for your pardon. Thank you, God, for your mercy. Thank you, God, for saving me. Thank you, God, for your love. Thank you for your kindness. You see, in the congregation were pardoned people. It was grateful people. It was forgiven people. And you know what it ought to be? It ought to be humble people. Can I tell you there's no place for arrogance in the house of God? None. I've seen preachers that were so arrogant, I wonder who their God was. Folks, this doesn't belong to us. It belongs to Him. And what we do here, it is about Him. And if you are anything, if you're blessed, if God's been good to you, it is because of Him. If you can pay your bills and you've got a surplus and your kids are okay and they're not off in trouble, don't brag about it. Thank God for it. You're going to have grandkids too, by the way. I tell you what kind of person was standing in the congregation. It was an understanding person. I can remember my dad, great counselor. I used to go and just sit on the porch and talk to him. And one time he told me, I was talking to him about some things, and this is what he said. He said, son, grace understands. That's not a lot of words, is it? I tell you what it says in the scripture. It says, we have not a great high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as you and I are, yet without sin. Then it said, therefore, let us come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. You know what that tells me? Grace understands. Because God walked here, Jesus walked, God incarnate in the flesh, and He sinned not, but yet He still suffered. But when He walked those roads, His feet hurt. When they pierced His hands and His feet, He felt it. But these people in this congregation, when they judged, they didn't say, that could be me. They say, that is me. Can I tell you, if you're saved by the grace of God, that is you. You see, it was an outreaching person. Now, this is a person who had been shown mercy. They had been shown forgiveness, and they had been shown grace. And can I tell you that we all need grace?
Yeah.
I heard it said this way one time. A guy was doing a funeral, and he was doing a funeral for somebody who had... This is basically what he said. He said, this is a person that understands grace. Now, I don't know why we can't say that about everybody. But here's what I figured out. Some people think they got it, and other people don't. Some people think they've got it figured out, and other people don't. But I want to tell you, when you went in this city, everybody there that looked at and judged another, they said, there was me. I remember the day that I walked in, and I remember the way I felt. I remember the forgiveness. I remember how they made me feel welcome, and they cared for me. I remember being afraid. It ought to make us humble. It ought to make us understanding, and it ought to make us reach out. But I want to give you something else about this city. Now, we can compare this to the church, amen? Doesn't the Scripture say, we read it last week, that such were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified? That's not, there go I, that would be me. Some people just think they're okay without God, but you're not. You see, when they came into this city, they couldn't just come in and be accepted by the congregation and go out and do as they please. They had to stay. You see, sometimes what people do is they'll come into the house of God and they want the mercy of God, they want the grace of God, they want the blessing of God, but all of a sudden they're right back out and they think they can do anything they want. I'll tell you what they had to do. They had to stay in that city. You see, because being inside this city, it was a safe haven. The slayer is waiting outside the city. And can I tell you this? The enemy is waiting for you right outside that door. We come in here, we're in the house of God, and thank God for the moving of the Holy Spirit. Thank God for saints that pray. But I'll tell you, when you leave here today, you don't know what you're going to face down here at the stop sign. You don't know what you're going to face tomorrow. And if you don't continue to walk with God and to stand with God and to do the things that God wants you to do, you might find yourself in a place that you never thought you'd find yourself. Heard a preacher preaching recently, and he was talking about how that all of us are one step from stupid. What? One step. See, they had to stay inside the city because outside the city was the slayer. And can I tell you that there are people lying in wait to slay? We know that we have a devil, the roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. But do you know there are people who want your demise? There are people who look for faults in a preacher. They look for a deacon to say something he shouldn't say. They look for somebody that says, I go to Hiram First Baptist Church to have a fault or a failure in their life so they can use their sword to cut you, to slay you. Because they have no compassion. You see, some of these slayers perhaps had went back to their own city when they saw the door of the city of refuge close. But have you ever run into these kind? They go hide behind the tree. And they just wait on somebody to come outside the door. Somebody's waiting on you. You see, what's important for us as we compare this to the church of Jesus Christ is inside the church, if we're the church that God wants us to be. And folks, we want to be a church that's pleasing to God. Amen? Amen. We want to be a church to where the Word of God is preached, to where there's compassion, to where we care for one another, we love one another, and we lift one another up. It's a place that's filled with grace and mercy, this congregation. So that when people come in and they're, whatever their past is, whatever they've done, whatever their need, when they're judged by the congregation, here's the only thing we see. We see somebody that just needs the grace of God. Amen. And can I tell you, when God comes on the scene, doesn't He? The Bible teaches us that He makes old things pass away and all things become new. You know, if we were to take and do an interview for Sunday school teachers, and we're going to say, all right, we're going to fill out this application. And if you've ever done this, and you've ever done this, and you've ever done this, and you've ever been there, then you can't do it. You know what we'd have? We wouldn't have many. Or if you've ever said this word, or you've ever done that thing, I'll tell you what we look for. Are you saved by the grace of God? Has God moved in your life? Has there been a change made since you've met the Lord? Do you feel the Holy Spirit moving in this church, and God challenging you that your life would be more like what God wants it to be? You see, we are what we are because of the grace of God. So what do we need in God's house, in the congregation? We need fellowship. That's like what we had last night. It's where you just sat around a campfire. And I love doing this. You get the guitar out and you sing those old songs. And you eat fried chicken. Amen. And you fellowship. You know, we don't sit around and we don't say, look at this scar. We don't sit around and, you ever heard anybody do this? They talk about what they used to do and they laugh like it was funny. Something's wrong. That needs to be taken and put under the blood. And if it's under the blood, it's gone. It's a place where there's forgiveness. It's a place where there's mercy. I hate to say it, but the way some folks in congregations are, I don't think they would let the Apostle Paul serve. See, he was a persecutor of the church. And he did terrible, terrible things. But when he was on the road to Damascus and he met Jesus, and Jesus sent him down to Annas' house, and he went down there, even the priest said, I'm afraid of that man. I've heard what he's done. But God said, I've changed him. When you come into the congregation and you meet Jesus, God will change you. But I want to say this, and then we're going to ask for a song. Folks, when you get saved, you got to stay in the congregation.
Amen.
I heard Brother Tom, he was just celebrating recovery, and it stirred me up a while back. He was talking about meeting a guy at Celebrate Recovery in prison. Time passed, and all of a sudden there he is years later in prison again. And he asked him the question. He said, what happened to you? This is what he said. He said, I didn't stay in the herd. Now, let's change that name. I didn't stay in the congregation. That's what it means. You see, why do we get in trouble when we go out there? Because we don't stay where God wants us. You don't feel like getting up and come to church? Come anyway. If you was going to the Georgia Bulldogs game or the Alabama game, or you was going to this or that, you'd get up. People don't stay in the congregation and they wonder why in the world the devil is tearing them up, because they're not serving God.
Amen.
See, the slayer is lurking. And here's what he wants, and I've been through this myself. I can tell you from experience, by the way, every message I get it first, and the Lord wore me out with one. I thought it was for y'all, but it was for me. So I didn't get to preach it this morning. See, I've been through times in my life that it just wouldn't be. I wasn't really sure. I didn't know what God wanted. You ever been looking for a church and you pull out of your subdivision and you say, well, do I go left or do I go right? I can remember this. You remember this? This is miserable. Went down to the end of the road at Ridge Road and I looked at my wife and I didn't know. The light turned green. Do I go this way or do I go this way? I didn't like that. You know what happened? It got to the point we'd try to visit on Sunday morning. We'd go here, we'd go there. It got to where on Sunday night, I just go play golf. See, I get out there on that golf course. I was talking to the Lord, but he's wearing me out. And it got to where, and this is what happens. The more you stay away, the easier it is to stay away. And folks, if 15% of the people in Pauling County go to church, there's something for us to do for the Lord.
Amen.
We need to be preaching until Jesus comes, because nobody else is going to do it. We are His hands and we are His feet. And we're supposed to be serving the Lord. If you're here this morning and you're afraid of being judged, I'll tell you what you find right here. And if anybody in this church don't show it to you, we'll pray with them.
Amen.
You find mercy. You find grace. You find forgiveness. And here's what, let me just tell you a little bit more and I'm going to close. The city of refuge for those that had done things unintentionally or in passion. But I tell you what grace is for. Grace is for your deepest, darkest secrets. Everything. You see, God already knows. He knows the eyes of the Lord are in every place beholding the evil and the good. He already knows. But guess what? When He went to the cross, I tell you what kind of love He had for you. It was a knowledgeable love. Because knowing everything that there was to know about you, he went anyway. Amen. Would you please stand to your feet? They'd come with a song. If God has spoke to your heart and you feel like praying, I'm just glad that I can come here. And I'm not worthy. I'm not good. But thank God that Jesus Christ is. Amen.